Blog Talk Radio.
Charlie here in Okotox, Alberta, Canada. I am standing for Nathan Nkama, who was unable to be with us this morning because of work engagement, but we're going to cover him as we speak to the former Defense Secretary, Honorable Godfrey Walia Mwamba. Honorable Mwamba, good afternoon for you. It is still morning for us here in Canada and the United States. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rogers. I'm not Godfrey, I'm Geoffrey. A point of correction, I'm Geoffrey Mwari Mwamba.
I apologize, honey. I apologize. I'm even looking at your name here. Now I see there are two F's, not a D there. I apologize.
Right.
Yes.
Otherwise, how are you?
For accepting our invitation to come to Zambia Block Talk Radio and speak to the general audience in the diaspora, I want to follow up, Honorable Mwamba, on a few things which led to you to be where you probably are. Help us understand some of the things as we go in the program. Just want to find out.
Okay, Roger, can you just give me a few minutes? I'm just trying to park, because I'm driving.
Okay,
Let me park,
sir,
so that I can concentrate on this program.
Take your time.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, you can go on now, Roger.
Thank you, sir. We want to follow your story altogether to be where you are, Honorable Mwamba. What was really the problem the former president of Zambia had with the Chitimukuru at that point, which you differed with? What was really the problem? Was there something the public was missing?
No, I wouldn't say there was anything wrong or anything that the public would have ought to know why I differed with late President Sata. per se, over the issue of my grandfather, Henry Kenyatta Sosala. What I can say is that, you see, I did it out of principle. Look, I hail from a royal family. My late father died as Chief Munkonge. He died as a chief. And beyond that, my father was the first black African minister in the federal government when I was born in 1959. My father was also a politician. And let me tell you, why he was appointed Minister of African Agriculture at that time in 1951 is because at that time, the whites realized that they cannot do without the participation of chiefs. But the chiefs at that time were outstanding. They were not very knowledgeable. They were not highly educated. So they had to identify a son of a chief who was educated, who could actually represent them in the native authority. So basically, that's what happened. And that's how come my father was appointed as the first black African minister in the federal government. But coming to the issue of my difference with the late president, Michael Chilufya-Sata, may he so rest in eternal peace, was merely because out of my principle. You see, the background is that I come from a royal family. My father's father was late Chief Mwamba. He died in 1945 on his way to go and ascend to the throne of Chief Chitimukulu. Unfortunately, because of his age couldn't allow him, and he was sick, and he died on his way to go and become Chief Chitimukulu. So basically, it was, again, I'm still repeating, it was a matter of principle. I thought the issue, which I don't know, the late president, the issues that were surrounded, the first of all, the gazetting Chief Mwamba, who was apparently supposed to go to become a Chief Chitimukulu. I don't know the differences which were there. When I asked the late President Sata in his office on a one-to-one, and he said he cannot tell me. I was young. He cannot disclose everything to me. But I think that was the reason why, I mean, we differed. I had to resign out of principle. And up to this moment, I'll tell you, I have no regrets and I have no apologies to make to anyone.
I assume might know, yes, Roger, our system of government, Honorable, calls on probably everyone to sing the same song with the president. At this point, you chose to sing from a different hymn book, so to say. How was your relationship with the rest of the Central Committee when you did what you did, when you took that decision?
You see, my relationship, I don't care whether it was sour with the Central Committee members and what have you, but you see, my position up to this time is that I think I did the right thing, what my coach has told me to do, which will actually make me feel that I'm a real Bemba. So, sorry to say that, because you see, if I had decided, or for the sake of a job, you understand, and jobs come and jobs go, I would have differed with it. I mean, I would have neglected the issue of Chitimukulu. But where would I have been today? For argument's sake, if President Edgar Lungu, the current President Edgar Lungu, did not even probably at that time, did not even reappoint me as Minister of Defense. So you see, I did it out of principle because I knew that, you see, politics come and go. And to make it worse, I think it's important to be independent. I have always been an independent person. I have an independent mind. When something I see goes wrong, definitely I will not just go where the wind is blowing like many others. Because, you see, they have to survive. But look at me. It doesn't, all my life, apart from the 2 years that I was minister, that was the only time that actually I was in employment. All these years, I've been a businessman. I've been a self-made man. Before MMB was even came into power in 1991, I was a self-made man. Even after MMB, I'm still a self-made man. Even PF, you see, I assisted PF in a great way, great deal for PF to form government using my resources and other things which I cannot mention. But look at them today. Okay, they are in power. And they have neglected those that made it possible for PF they've decided to do away with them. But that is not, I personally, that is not my, I'm not worried about that, because I know even after PF, I'll still be GBM. I've always said that it's not a question of bragging, but it's a question of reality and it's a question of truth. I've seen governments come and go. So I think what is important in life, I think people should learn a leaf from me, is that I think it's important to become independent. You should always be independent so that you have an independent mind. So coming to the issue again of members of the Central Committee, whatever they think, you see, most members of the Central Committee, of course they need to protect their jobs if they have, I doubt it. And they have to cling to where they know the power is, you see. And that is where I become different, because me, I always go, where, if the wind is blowing on the north, I'll go maybe on the south. I'll follow where, I'll go where the wind is not blowing. So majority of those people in the Central Committee, definitely they have to survive.
You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We are speaking to Honorable Geoffrey Wariamwamba, commonly known as GBM. He was the former Defense Secretary under the PFDF. And this broadcast is brought to you by Stephen Banda Communication. I'm sorry, Stephen Banda Communications. That is your trusted communication. If you want any telephone cards, please call or go to StephenBandaCommunications.com. Bamwamba, the current leadership, what are the differences you are encountering right now with the Edgar Lungu administration?
Well, what I can say is that I don't see anything wrong, because first and foremost, I'm not looking for a job from the Edgar Lungu administration. Even in the last administration, I never went and looked for a job. I was asked to serve, you see. So if I always want to be a servant of the people. So for me, I think if there are any differences, but I think I'm happy with not being part of that administration. And of course, I've seen that there are a lot of flaws. You can see the rate of the kwacha to a dollar today. In the last, since Edgar took over office, it's something, it's very, very disheartening. Something which I think will affect the Zambian economy in a great way, in a great way. But if I was part of that that government, I think I would have probably not just that, but I would have come up with a solution. I would have asked my dear brother Edgar if I was part of them. But let me be quick to say that I don't need to be part of that administration. I don't need the job at this point in time.
You may not need a job, Honorable Mwamba, but have you reached out to them to say you are willing to serve in whatever capacity you may be called to serve your nation?
You see, unfortunately, you see, once you start doing that, you know how governments operate, how presidents operate. It will be a talk of the world that GBM came to me and is looking for a job. But I think that's not my nature. I do appreciate that I need to save. Right now, I'm saving the people of my constituency. I think I'm quite content with that. And I don't need to be, I think, part of the government.
We have so many of our friends in the diaspora here, Honorable Mwamba, you want to know. And those who have called in and they want to ask Honorable Mwamba, I'm going to give as much time as possible. We have this morning.
Yes.
Please press 1 on your phone keypad, and to indicate to me you have a question to ask Honorable Mwamba, and then we can move from there. Let me go to Atlanta right now. Sadiq is on the call this morning. Sadiq, good morning.
Good morning. How are
you? Phone, Sadiq, may be on mute. Good morning, Sadiq, again.
How are you?
Fine, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello, Sadiq.
We are hearing you, but please go ahead. If we can't, then you can adjust your phone or something. Ask your question to Honorable Mwamba.
Okay. Let me just quickly say that But Honorable GPM is actually a very good friend to the diaspora. At certain times when we've had funerals and we want to send bodies to Zambia, him himself actually has either helped morally and financially. So he's actually a partner in diaspora matters, and I know for sure that he believes in dual citizenship. I don't even have to ask him that question. But the question that I have for you, GBM, that I have is, are you thinking of forming a political party? I think that's the only question that I have. I know many other people want to ask many other questions, and I already know a lot of your stances on a lot of things. Thank you.
Right. No, thank you very much, Comrade Sadiq. I hope you are fine. As you have mentioned, you're a colleague of mine. We have met on several occasions, and thank you for that question. The question, I think, at this point in time, my hands are tied. You know, my case is in court.
Yes.
So it will be prejudice for me to actually give direction if I'm contemplating on forming my own political party. But I'll tell you, those are options that can be looked at in the near future, you see. So I wouldn't say yes, I wouldn't say no, but I think I'll advise the nation and the public at large, including you people, my colleagues in the diaspora, my future, my intentions that I have for the future in terms of politics. But what I want to assure you people is that I think I'm still an active politician, and I think I still think that I still have a long way to go in as far as politics is concerned, because I would like to serve the people of Zambia, but only serve the people of Zambia with the colleagues that are willing to work with me and that I'm willing to work with.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sadiq. I appreciate your question and your preciseness, and I hope everyone calling this morning you'll be that precise so we can accommodate as many people as possible. I have my own set of questions, Honorable Mwamba. I'll be pushing as we go, as my colleagues allow me. For now, let me go to Minnesota. Minnesota, we find Titus Natala. Titus, good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, Honorable GBM. This is Titus Natala. My question is, what do you think about this business of somebody being an acting minister? You have been a deputy minister, a defense minister before, and we see this trend of the president where he's acting as a justice minister and defense minister. Is it that we don't have anybody who can take up those positions or not? I know you swear oath and everything, and I have high regards to you for standing the way you are, not disclosing any foul plays or anything in the government, current, previous, and the rest. But I want you to advise us on what you think if people are put as defense ministers. Sometimes I'm inquiring you to Honorable Mpombo, who was also a defense minister before.
That question is clear, yes. Let your Honorable answer the question.
Right. All right, thank you very much. I think it's a question of greed in as far as I'm concerned. Though it's a prerogative of a president, an incumbent president, to withhold any position that he thinks cannot be given out to any minister or appoint any minister. But you see, in as far as I'm concerned, I don't see any reason why he could withhold that position unless there is something that he should tell the nation, the reason why he should withhold that minister and not appoint a minister. Because that's a very, very sensitive ministry, so to say. Look at President Sata, immediately came into power. A week later, I was appointed Minister of Defense because he knew that he couldn't do without a Minister of Defense. But in my view, I think, there's something that probably is holding that position for someone special, or probably there's something that he thinks that if he appoints a minister will be able to probably he doesn't want a minister to know what maybe the Ministry of Defense is trying to do in as far as security is concerned. So what I can say is that actually it's his prerogative to withhold that, but I think it's not good for him because he'll be working under pressure as the president, because he needs the minister to superintend over the defense issues across the country, because every single day there are matters that require a minister of defense to deal with, and in consultation with the sitting president. That's what I can say.
Honorable Mwamba, you probably supported HH to running for the president. Was there any reason why you chose someone in a different party rather than your own party, other than probably your independence, which you have articulated very well this morning?
I see. Look here, when you discover leadership in a leader, it doesn't matter which party he comes from. That's my principle anyway. I don't mind about what other people say. But you see, look here, I saw intellect. I saw vision. He is a visionary leader, and I could see a lot of potential in HH. That's why I decided to endorse HH, because I knew that if he became a leader, definitely he would actually propel this country to greater heights. Look at the rate of the dollar today. We are talking of, I'm not in Zambia, I've been out for 3 weeks, I'm in South Africa currently. When I left for Zambia, the rate of the dollar was 7,300. Today it's 7,900 kwacha, as at yesterday, so to say. Look here, if HH was the president, I think he would have not allowed the dollar to these higher levels. You see, my fear and worry is that it will affect the entire country, the economy, because everything, the price of all the commodities now will have to go up, which is very sad. Who pays the price? It's an ordinary person. It's not a government employee. It's not a minister. A minister is well paid. A president is well paid. Everything is scattered for him. So the people that will now actually feel the pinch are ordinary Zambians.
Let's go to New York. Brother Sakala, good morning. Okay. Area code 972, last four numbers 0916. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Moderator, Mr. Charlie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Brother Banda. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. GBM, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, colleague. Good afternoon, colleague.
Good afternoon. Mr. GBM, you might not know or remember me, but believe it or not, I'm one of the people that you groomed and inspired to leadership way back in 1994. When I worked for Mr. Gary George Shabwena, I used to be in tire retreading, and I used to retread your tires, and we developed a very strong friendship. I was very, very young. I was very young.
I remember you very, very well.
So, you have a great memory. I used to bother you. I used to be at your office every day, and then you are the white secretary, and she would just say, oh, this boy is back. You know?
I remember you very, very well.
That's very good. I appreciate you, sir, for every input that you put into my life, and that's why I decided to, in my company, Student Banner Communications, decided to sponsor your show, because I just felt compelled to do that. In essence, Russia has built a strong middle class by virtue of management buyouts. And today we have a lot of made millionaires in Russia, such that the company and its economy are growing. And that's why even the president is becoming a little bit big-headed. I like your stand on being a self-made millionaire, self-made man, and even a visionary politician, in the sense that you do not practice politics of poverty. You practice politics based on ethics, principles, and etiquette that you think you can put into government to enhance the growth of the many. And as such, this is why you have held the constituents for a long time, because there are things that you can do using your resources. I think men of your caliber, Honorable Mwamba, you need to create a deliberate policy and decision to enhance the face of leadership in Africa entirely at large in the next 15, 20 years. I want to ask you, as one of the people you have groomed, as your colleague and your boy, to look at opening a school of potential that is going to excel in technology, to build technocrats. You begin them from a young age, sponsor them, and we in the diaspora, we can help in pumping in funds so that when those children graduate from those schools, we can make potential leaderships that are going to take Zambia to the next level. Because 57 years from now, many of us may not be alive, but GBN can create a legacy and precedence that will never die because you've left strong leadership through the school that you have built. Think of, leadership should be self-reproductive and contagious. So take GBM out and begin planting GBM, millions of Zambians of potential. People that are poor in different compounds, they may be poor like I was, but have potential in the brain. And you can help tap into that. And the other two things I'm going to ask is, can we please eliminate these by-elections each time a president dies? We have seen that our life expectancy of presidents is very short. And we might have 10 by-elections if we're not careful in one time. Let us take that out so that we can a vice president can easily continue. And that, like Sidika said, they also help us with getting dual citizenship and everything. And lastly, I just want to thank you so much for the help you've given in the diaspora when anybody dies. It hasn't been easy, but we have felt your exponential potential by the virtue of what you've done. Thank you, Mr. Mwamba, and may God bless your future endeavors.
Thank you very, very much, I think, for those words. What I can say is that I think, let me start with the last concern of yours, that how do we do our with the presidential by-election? I think I still blame the system, which has been in place, you understand? Because if the system was clear, there was a clear policy that immediately a president dies, somebody else, the vice president takes over. I think that would have been very, very appropriate. But what I can say is that these are matters that I think the government should look into. These are policies that they should formulate as a government. And that's why we need strong leadership and independent-minded people. Because, you see, some people may ascend to the top leadership, but, you see, they don't have the vision. They don't even understand what exactly you're talking about yourself. If you had to ask them about their vision or what they could, what they think about that, the answer would be in the negative. That's why I think we still have a problem in this country. We need people with a vision, people who understand issues, people who are able to articulate issues, people who are ready to listen to people like you. Look at what you have said. I will tell you that I have learned one or two things out of just what you have just raised now. You see, I may be a leader, but I think we need people, dynamic, intelligent people like you. And the first one which you had said that we need to come up with, the line was not very clear, actually. I didn't get you very, very clearly. But what I can say is that in your own time, I think, try and see how best you can probably write a paper to me, and which you can email to me. I'm ready. Even through Sadiq, I think Sadiq has got my email. And you can get my email from Sadiq. Let him tell you, you tell me exactly what you think should be done. You see, the beauty about me is that I've got, I always want to learn, you see. Because in life, if you want to succeed, you have to learn. And we have such intelligent people like you in the diaspora there. We need your intellect. We need your intelligence. We need them if you could forward those things to us, definitely I'll tell you, we can implement them. And when you are here, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, try and see to it that you interact with us. Don't be shy. Come and see us. And some of us, we are ready to learn. Because I feel learning is a continuous process. And to be a good leader, you have to listen from people like you.
Well said. Let's go to Miami or somewhere in Florida. Brother Allen, good morning.
Good morning. It's Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good morning, Mr. Mwamba. We I just wanted to say that you are one of those leaders that we admire. I've known you from a distance through people. But here's my question, which is for generally all politicians in Zambia, because we have seen here, for instance, in the US and in the UK, where we have almost a two-party system, the ruling party, when they are in office, they ensure that they have to do what is good for the country, because if they don't, the chances of them retaining office are very, very slim, and the chances of them rigging elections are even slimmer because of the way that they have got fewer parties and the opposition is strong. In Zambia, we have a multitude of opposition parties, such that if you even want, as a voter, you want to think of an alternative to the current government, it's very difficult to pick out one because we are so fragmented. HH may have one or two good things about him. Dr. Pule has one good thing about him. Nevers Mumba, one good thing. Meander, something else. But if all these that human resource was in one boat, even the ruling party would be forced to do what is good for the nation and not just what is going to keep them in power. What do you think about that? Can't we get to one day a place where we have only two or three strong opposition parties where when they speak, even the president says, I must do something or else I may lose this office?
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I think what I can say is that I think that's a very, very good observation that our opposition are fragmented. Why can't they form one united opposition to fight the sitting government? You see, unfortunately, all the leaders here in the opposition, they are too greedy. They all want to go to State House. But little do they realize that they will not go to State House if they are fragmented. You see, so I concur with you. And these are issues that I've actually tried to advise them to say, look here, if you are going to fight a sitting government, it's not an easy battle. You have one united front. But I think from the lessons that they have learned in the past elections where they have lost out, because if they put all the votes together, the opposition, I think they can actually unseat the sitting government. But I think they have learned a lesson, and I think they are working towards that. That's what I can say. I think if you look at HH, I think he's commanding some good support in Zambia. First facts. Hopefully, he may form the next government because he has the qualities and ability actually to govern the country properly. So I think.
Please enter the number you wish to call. Press star at any time to listen to advanced options.
Okay, we shall wait till our line dropped there. We shall wait for our colleague to bring Honorable Mwamba back. On the radio. So far, so good. Mr. Banda, congratulations, and everyone else who has so far called in. We have a number of people who are still in the line. As soon as whatever GBM comes back, Ms. Lucas, please just open the mic, and that will indicate to me that we have reconnected to him. Honorable Banda, your observations. Stephen?
Sorry about that, Mr. Moderator. Sorry about that. Yes, thank you so much. I think so far, from what I can tell or actually or maybe analyze, is that GBM, his current financial status or his economic stability gives him a platform where he can have an independent mind. And a mind that is independent is a very strong mind because it can provide, you know, a role that can fit for many because they are not scared of losing a job or maybe even trying to lick someone's butt just to get favors. They speak their mind, and most of the things that they may represent the many people, you know, or different people. So such divergent views and independence is very, very important. And I think you know, like someone, I think it was Alan Mulenga said, we need a lot of people in those ports, such as the likes of GBM, so that Zambia can have a stronger pressure group to make governments listen to what we have to say. So far, here in the U.S., I think what we are doing to coming together to create a platform where we stand as one is one such example that is going to, when we grow it and make sure it's going the right direction, which is going to give a lot of pressure to the government. But I think I applaud so far the likes and the mind of Honorable Mwamba, and I think we need much more of that in the potential in the Republic of Zambia.
As we wait for GBM to come back, Ms. Lucas, we will indicate to us. Sadiq, you asked this very important question, whether he's considering to create his own political party. Now, I want to connect that comment, Sadiq, to what Stephen asked about him creating some form of organization which will help young people probably to excel. We have enough, Sadiq, political parties in Zambia. The influence, the authorship with a person like him, probably directing him to something maybe which is different, which is missing in Zambia. Our guest is back. I'm not sure where we were. I think he was commenting on something. Honorable Mwamba, I don't know if you remember where you were, and you can probably continue from there.
The line is breaking. I can't hear you very clearly, my dear brother.
Okay. I'm saying, I don't know if you remember where you were commenting, or I can invite someone, I think, to give you a question.
Hello? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Gabriel.
With the next
very well. Yes. Zebron in Kansas. Zeb, please come in.
Yes, very good. Mr. Mwamba, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. My name is Zebron. I'm from Kansas City. We value your support. As Sadiq said earlier on, you are one of the people that are support the diaspora, in terms of need, and we value that a lot. My question was
okay,
that
the line has dropped yet again. We're having some technical issues. Ms. Lucas, give me a chance. I'll try and connect him from my line. It may work much better here. Let me play a short song, and then we will try and connect GBM. Stay with me. I'll try and connect GBM from my end. I'll play a short song. sorry for that breakdown in transmission. Let's see if we have our guest back. These things happen once in a while when you're communicating across the oceans. Miss Lucas, I can't find your number here. Please open your number and acknowledge if you are here. Okay. We shall wait until Ms. Lucas. Yes, Ms. Lucas, I can't hear you. Are you with us?
Yes, we are. Mr. Mwamba is also on the line too.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Mwamba, for that. Those who are asking questions, you know these communications are very, very tricky sometimes. So be very brief and very quick. That way you'll be able to cover ground. Zebron, you were asking Honorable Mwamba a question. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'll be very brief. Honorable Mwamba, you're a very successful businessman. And, yes, you're a very successful businessman. And, you know, as I said earlier on, that, you know, the diaspora knows, you know, how you know, your good that you've done for the community here. My question is,
Zebron, please.
All right. My question to Dr. Honorable Mwamba is that if the diaspora had like a seminar or a conference or something, some events that they may need you to come over here and share your experience and probably, you know, have the diaspora learn one or two things from you, is that something that you would be willing to travel and come over here?
That is something that can be done. That's something that can be done, I'm sure. Within, I should be going in London in the next 2 weeks for a whole, I mean 2 months for a holiday. Uh-huh. Probably I can take that opportunity to, if I'm invited by you people, my colleagues in the diaspora, to come and share with you, of course, a few issues regarding our country, Zambia. I don't think I have a problem with that, my dear.
All right, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank
Honorable
you so much.
Mwamba, you are invited to come. We'll give you the dates. We are not going to beat about the bush. So you are invited to come, and we are going to probably to send invitations through Sadiq.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. I think you consider that. Now I'll be anything. And now I'm a free man. I'm not tied to anybody, so I'm free to come anytime.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
well
you
said. Let's follow through the lines. Honorable Mwamba, I hope you will be kind enough to listen to. There are a lot of people who have called. Your name is huge here, and therefore, a lot of interest has been generated. They are called 336-8369. 336-8369. Good morning. Oh, Honorable Mwamba, I want to follow up. I think each time I have an opportunity to speak to powerful politicians, I want also to take that opportunity to talk about something I really care for, and that is, I think, the development of rural Zambia. Other than probably considering, Honorable Mwamba, to create your own political party, you know there are several of them, you don't want to be on the list. That's people interested to go to. It is the development of rural Zambia. Let me just ask you a question. Are there any initiatives you think you can take to liberate, say, for instance, Kasama, to be so independent on Lusaka that Kasama will be able to do some of the things? Or are you able to make up a pressure group which will make Kasama of some northern province to have some kind of independence development-wise? Currently, we are all dependent on Minister of Education. It is Lusaka who has to tell us. Tourism, Lusaka has told us. It is go to Livingstone, that is the tourist capital. But we have Kalambo Falls, where you are in Kasama. Do you consider, you know, this pressure group where you stand and promote rural Zambia to be central to your political life at some point?
Oh, thank you very much for that observation. I'll tell you, unfortunately, we have weak souls here. People here are so dependent on the government, and they cannot be able to join me to be part of, informing pressure groups so that development can be brought into the province. I guess I would do that because all of them, they are bootlickers. All they will do is that they will just be given a job. They will just be given a small job, and they abandon their actions. So unfortunately, due to poverty, high-level poverty levels here in this country, I'll tell you, we are in a problem. Everyone here is looking for a job from the government. Everyone here is looking for what and what and what and what. So it's very possible, it's quite impossible for people, even people from our province there. In fact, that's where they are working. They can't do without the government. Look at them. Even if the government makes bad policies, they will support those bad policies because they want to be close to the system. They can't fend on their own. It's a pity. That's why we need people like you in the diaspora who are independent. You should all start coming back so that we can team up together and probably we can make one united force and probably come up with certain policies or certain suggestions which can force the government to implement certain programs. But for now, I'll tell you, people here, they are bootlickers. Mention them. Eh? If you want to give me names, I'll tell you that one is a bootlicker. He can't survive on his own because they all have to survive through the government. No government, they can't survive. There are very few people who are like GBM. Probably I'm the only one who can tell off a government at any time that I feel like. Because I've never depended from the counter days, I've never depended on the government. You see, but we are very few people who can do that, who are able to say our minds out, speak our minds out. So unfortunately, on that one, I think that is very, very difficult.
It is. I probably it will take your generation, my generation, to change that kind of thought. Area code 917-917-5138. We are speaking to Honorable Geoffrey Wadiamuamba through Stephen Banda Communications, your only trusted calling card. Go to stephenbandacommunication.com and buy your trusted phone card. Area code 917-5138. Good morning.
Good morning, Bachari Munishani.
Wasakara, we are okay. Your question to Honorable Mwamba.
Honorable GBM, this is Sakala Henry from New York. How are you, sir?
How are you, my dear brother?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very happy to hear on this program that you have been helping the diaspora financially. I'm very happy for this radio talk show because it has even enlightened me something. Your generosity is undoubtable. And people know it.
Thank you, Mohammed.
For what you have been doing.
Mohammed, thank you.
And being someone who have sat with you and talked extensively, I've seen your heart and what you stand for. And there are some who don't know you. But here comes the question. Where does GBM draw his passion to lead the people? And where does GBM propel the power to be concerned about people? And the other one is, somebody may be good. You're one of the people I supported to see that you be the nominee for PF, but it didn't go...
Yeah.
Your way. Was it that it didn't go your way that you decided to support HH, or was it the judgment that you were frustrated in PF to go to HH? Because look, me,
right.
You as the standing for president, it can be good because you have a record. But sometimes when you're in the camp of people who haven't shown a good, a wrong record, where people don't recognize them and they don't connect with them. It doesn't work sometimes. Chimonga ngule di mbalale shisuma. Wabane mbalale shwa mkano. But wesari yoru balala lumolu wabola. Fila shupo kutiumine. You have a good intention and you have heart for the people and you have a record what you have done for the people. Look what you have done in Tsana. But when you join hands with others, it makes people try to start reversing. What does GBM say about that?
Thank you very much, my dear colleague Henry. First of all, you started with the issue of where does GBM draw the passion for? Where does he draw his passion for the people? I'll tell you, this is something that I would term or I would call it's inborn. You see, you don't pretend to like people. It's impossible. You must grow with it. First of all, it's your background. So my background where I grew from, coming from, of course, a humble home and, of course, a royal family. From a royal family, we always interacted with different types of people, the lowest class in society to the highest class in society. So I grew up with that. So it's not something that I'm trying to imagine or interview. No, it's something that is just in me, it's an inborn thing. Again, you came to the issue of why did I decide to support HH or whatever. Let me tell you the truth. First and foremost, without people, some of us here would have not been there. But my colleagues decided that they ignore that fact. You understand? They ignore that fact. And if you have noticed, most people that were close to President that at the time he was forming government, because he did not form government alone. Some of us, I traveled with him extensively throughout the country. Choppers hired planes, and they were on the ground. We did a lot in order to make PF form government. But you see, our colleagues now who are currently in the government, they have ignored us. They think we're irrelevant. They don't know who put them there. But what I can say is that I think I'll leave all that to the Almighty. God will punish them. God will punish them, and without fail. So what I can say, my dear brother, is that I supported HH because I think I saw vision. It's not that I was frustrated. The man is eloquent. The man is a gentleman, so to say. The man is a gentleman. And the man can actually move the Zambian economy. It's a pity you're in the diaspora. The dollar has moved from where it was, I think, probably by 20-30% in the last 60 days. Where does that take us as a country? Who suffers? It's an ordinary Zambian like me who suffers. Because everything now, all the prices of goods will start escalating. People in the system, they will not feel it. They will not feel it because they've got corrupt money from the Chinese. So they will be happy. To them, they will not be affected. But an ordinary Zambian will be affected. But I'm sure Zambians are seeing. Come 2016, I think the scenario will change. Because the economic turbulence that they will go through or that they will be put into from now until 2016 will be something that they will never forget. They will never forget. Basically, that's what I can say for now.
Well said. Area code 1-86-392, I think. Namunji. Ms. Namunji, good morning. Okay, that's not somebody on this number. 816, last four numbers, 3992. Good morning.
Hello, this is Sipo Mwamba.
Yes, hello. Yes,
hello.
Who is on the call?
This is Sipo Mwamba.
Sipo Mwamba, where are you calling from?
From Kansas City.
Okay, welcome, Sipo. Go ahead. You are speaking to Honorable Geoffrey Wajamwamba. Is he your uncle?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good. See, uncle, we've connected you to your niece.
Imagine. Mulishani my Rasi Paul. How are you and your family?
Eh, I'm quiet. I didn't even me poche po.
Thank you very, very much. That's very kind of you, Mayo.
I'm quiet. But I also have one That's important good. Question I would like to ask, something I'm not understanding. What is so difficult about the dual citizenship? Because I'm not understanding why it's not going through. The late president, Sata, could not allow it, and now the current president has not allowed it too. So I would like, you know, just a brief explanation as to what is making it impossible to go through.
Right. Mayo, thank you very much for that question. I'll tell you, to be honest, I was part of the cabinet that made that decision. So you see, being under oath, I cannot actually review what was discussed in that cabinet. It's unfortunate, but I'm sure I tend to sympathize with all of you guys in the diaspora that at least you need well, there's nothing wrong with dual citizenship. And one of the cabinet ministers was actually quite strong on that, and he had to defend that, but unfortunately, cabinet did not approve that. But we don't know about this new government, Edgar Lungu's government. Probably they may consider dual citizenship. So I think I cannot say much on that because I was part of that cabinet which decided that citizenship should not be allowed. And, you know, I'm under oath, so I can't disclose anything.
Okay. I don't know how refreshing that is, but I think we have work to do. We have a lot of lobbying we have to continue doing. Area code 573-573-6278. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My name is Enos. Good morning, with GBM.
Enos, good
where morning, good morning, Maggie.
Yeah, actually, you know, I've known Mr. GM from back in the days, like in the 90s.
Enos, where are you calling us from?
Yeah, I'm calling you from Dallas.
Dallas,
but
go ahead,
from, yeah, but it's from Israel, yeah. Anyway, his son is very good, good friend of mine, Chilekwa. You know, this man, you know, I've admired you from the time I was a kid. You know, like the time when you lived in Olympia, you know, I used to come and visit you guys and everything, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, some of us don't want to be politicians, you know. We are living here in the diaspora. We want to come back home and make it like you, you know. So now it's like
yeah.
Every Zambian right now, every Zambian wants to be a politician. You know, like what you're saying. Everybody wants to be in the government, you know. Like some of us, we just want to be independent, you know, like you. Because I've seen you, you know, you've made it, you know, from the bottom, you know,
okay,
without being in government.
Ask your number one by question.
Yeah. So for us, people like in the diaspora that want to come back home, without being in government, I mean, what are the opportunities right now? You know, because, I mean, the tendency that I'm seeing is like everybody, for people to survive, everybody wants to be inclined, you know, to politics. You know, so I'm trying to find out, like, the cost of business, you know, like the opportunities that are there, you know, without, you know, being a puppet to the government or being, you know, associated with a certain political party. Some of us, we just want to be independent. Come there. Because I like one of your sayings. When you
fair,
one of your sayings. Yeah, one of your sayings when you
that's
say.
That's a fair question. Brother, you know, Kia is asking, what kind of opportunities can we explore, we who are living in diaspora, what are the opportunities we can explore in Zambia?
Right, that's a very good question. There are so many opportunities here, but what I can confirm is that with the current leadership, I don't think you would get anything out of us here, because most of the contracts, look at even just mayor contracts, they are given to foreigners. I don't want to specify which foreign nationals or which country benefit more. Instead of empowering fellow Zambians in this country, they empower foreigners because they know that's where they'll get, they'll be given some cut. So even if you had to come to even to self-stationary in a government institution today, it is almost impossible. If you get that contract, it will take you 1 year to get your money. It's either the person who's in charge of giving contracts, he needs a 10%, or he or she is also a supplier. So you see, this is where the government should have come in. They should have come up with a clear-cut policy to say that if it is discovered that you are the one who has been authorized to give out contracts to people, to Zambians, you give contracts to yourselves, you'll be punished. But unfortunately, they've turned a blind eye on that. There are so many opportunities here. There are so many things that can be done. But unfortunately, this current government has no policy, no clear-cut policy on how to empower people, not only in the diaspora, but even fellow Zambians. Ask any Zambians who's here, middle-class, small-scale businessman, they are not being assisted by this government at all. That means the government has no vision for the Zambians. They are only interested in their selfishness by way of getting bribes from the so-called suppliers. So it's a pity, I'll tell you, even if you have to come here, you come with your intellect and everything, but unfortunately there will be nothing for you here. As I said earlier, ask any Zambian here. Have you heard of any young Zambian who is doing very well or who has been assisted by the government to become a millionaire or to become a GBM of this world? None. Right now, as I talk to you, I'm in South Africa because I cannot be given business in my own country, but I have more business in South Africa. You can imagine. Now, where is the business going to? That's the thing you should ask yourself. Where is the business going to? Why is it not going to the Zambians? Where is it going to? It's very, very unfortunate, I'll tell you. The government, our Zambian government, there are no policies which will empower us as Zambians.
Okay. Well said, Honorable Mwambaye. Few people who are still asking, and probably we are getting back to what I think you are applying, how so many people are bootlickers. And we are looking for, let me call in inverted commas, a messiah, another freedom fighter who will fight this time to have power to the people, power away from Lusaka. Probably we may be looking for a GBM who is independent, who will fight. If GBM went either to State House or he had a position, is he going to fight the power to the people in Kasama, in Mwenze, in Solwezi? People can make their own decisions, collect taxes, use some of that money within where they are before the money goes to Lusaka. I think that is where we are. We have a deficit, and we are looking for a leader like yourself, to correct this situation, Mwamba. Let me go to area code 404-0158. Area code 404-0158. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Chulukyankabika.
Your name is
from Atlanta. Elizabeth Chulukyankabika.
Elizabeth, good morning. Yes, you have Honorable Mwamba on the line.
Yes, good morning, Honorable Mwamba. I'm calling from Atlanta. There is no doubt that you are a successful businessman in Zambia, and I was just wondering if you have programs lined up for the youth, both in the diaspora and in Zambia, to hopefully help them get on that path of success as well. I mean, I know, and I really thank for your, I'm thankful for your independent voice from the government, and probably because you're not part of the government anymore, things are hard for you, but independently, like, what kind of funds do you have for those of us that want to come back and invest back home?
Right. Moderator, I'm not very clear on what she's actually asking. Would you be able to probably...
Elizabeth, maybe I'll ask for Elizabeth as well. I missed a lot of things. Speak slowly and a little bit louder. Just ask your question again from the way you have said it.
Oh, I was asking if you have any programs lined up for the youth to hopefully help them on the way to success, him being a successful businessman himself. If he has any programs lined up for the youth, both in the diaspora and in Zambia as well, so we can also get on that path of success, you know, wealth.
Okay. Well said. We may not rephrase this from what Stephen Banda earlier on, Mamwamba, asked you. Do you have any considerations creating a youth program which could train our youth, you know, to be independent like you are, create employment for the youth, your own foundation, so to say?
Right. Thank you very much for that question. But what I can say is that, you see, there is just, GBM can do something for the youth, but of course it will not be as big as what the government can do. Because, you see, I'm just an individual. And, you see, the economy is not as big as, of course, USA, Europe, where we can say that I can probably stash away maybe $5-10 million just for to see that youth are empowered, you see. The economy here is quite small. But I'm able to do that. But, you see, it will not make an impact. Why? Because of the amount that will be involved. And we have so many youth that are unemployed in this country. I'll tell you, this is something that the government should come up with. If the government was wise enough, the government should come to people like us, the few of us who have made it in life, to say, how did you make it in life? So how would you assist the government to formulate a policy which will actually create employment? But unfortunately, we are regarded, you understand, we are regarded as enemies of the government. It's very, very unfortunate. What I can say is that, you see, policies must be formulated by the government to empower them. We have so many ideas. How did we get to where we are? That's a good question. Yes. Why can't the government approach us to say that, how did you get to where you are? Because it's very simple. We can come up with a policy. We can work together with the government and come up with a clear-cut policy where we can see that employment is created. But unfortunately, they don't want to do that. All they want is people that will just lie to them, that will just make themselves richer, and so on and so forth. So it's unfortunate. The blame actually should be on the government, because those are very big projects to empower youth. That's a big project which requires actually the will of the party and the government. No single individual actually will make it, even if it had to be whoever, unless maybe Bill Gates. Probably Bill Gates is the only one because of the large economy where he's trading and he has enough surplus money to cash in various programs. But in Zambia, what business do I benefit? It's just that some of us, we are hardworking. With the little that we make, we want to share it with the have-nots.
Okay, let's take our last our last phone call. I may leave about 15 minutes or so. All those who have called in, please stay with us, and then we can digest what Honorable Mwamba would have left for us to talk about, going forward. I don't like to have a discussion which starts as a discussion and ends in a discussion. It should end into something tangible going forward. How can we make use of people like a caliber of GBM. Either code 51541541, plus four numbers 4613. Good morning.
Good morning and good evening, Honorable Mwamba.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to you too.
Hello, who's on the call this morning, please? Yes, sir, who's on the phone?
Oh, okay, sorry. My name is Mutinta.
Okay, Mutinta, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Medford, Oregon, and happy belated birthday to Honorable Mwamba.
Many thanks.
It's very clear right now that things are a little bit shaky in Zambia political-wise, and the few guys that called you to ask you questions were a little bit soft, respectively. What we need right now in Zambia is a revolution, and what I mean when I say revolution, I mean in terms of a spin and turnaround where we hold those politicians accountable. And we need people in their 40s, 30s, not to be idle, but stand up to be heard. And my question to you, Honorable, is would you be willing to be a mentor and also push for a platform for youth to be active and be heard when it comes to politics. And I also see you as a good leader, but more of a mentor, as in creating a platform for the youth.
Say that again, the question again.
My question
would
to you
willing?
Is...
Okay, let me stay with us. Tinta is calling for a revolution in a positive way, and I always call for one as well. Evolution.
Yeah, and also, I wanted to make it really clear. When I say that word, for me, what I mean is more of a spin and a turnaround where we hold politicians accountable.
Right.
Revolution.
Look here.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, as I said earlier on, I think there was one of the callers that I actually responded to and told him that, you see, in this country we have a crisis in terms of, you see, there's so much poverty in this country. Who's going to be part of that revolution? Now, see, what they do here is that once they see that you become outspoken, they'll give you a job and they'll shut you up. So, as I said earlier on, that's why we need people like you guys from who are in the diaspora to come on board. Probably if we had to team up together, you understand? I'm ready to do that. You understand? I'm ready to die for Mother Zambia. I'm not happy to see that Zambians are now living in abject poverty. This is quite sad. You see, and to be a politician, you need to serve the people, not to serve your interests, like most politicians.
Right.
They are in government to serve their own selfish needs. But I was not in government, or I'm not a politician to benefit or to serve myself. That's why I go out of my way to try and assist the vulnerable and more especially the youth. You see, that's what basically I do. But I'll tell you for now, because of high poverty levels in this country, no one is ready to rise up. In fact, they can even rise. As soon as you discuss that with them, they'll be the first ones to go to State House and say, look here, this is what GBM is trying to do. But of course, me, I don't care about that. I don't give it a hoot at all. But what I want is to see that Zambians, even those in the diaspora, if they had to come back home, and some of them are in the diaspora, it's because they know that if they come back here, what are they going to do? They'll be jobless. They will not be easy. And moreover, you people in the diaspora are not bootlickers. And you are not going to lick a boot of someone in order to get it to look for a job. That's why if that has to work, we need to work together, more especially with people in the diaspora who understand issues. But my colleagues back home here, unfortunately, they're all looking for jobs. They are all hungry wolves.
Honorable Mamba, let me end with this question. You were in government of the PF. I think Mtinta has brought a very critical question here, and that is the question of accountability. And we have said on this radio, when government go to borrow money to finance the building of roads, the building of hospitals from somewhere else, they are accountable to the people who have given them the money. We ourselves as Zambians are not putting up anything, and therefore the government may not be accountable to us, because as Dr. Patrick always tells us on this radio, follow the money, and where the money goes, that's where the power is. You were in government, Minister of Finance. Today, some of the problems we are facing is as a result of heavy borrowing. How much probably blame would you take, having been in government yourself, and maybe we don't see you opposing government to, so to say, to borrow heavily and put us in a situation where we find ourselves today?
I'll tell you something. When you're part of the government, they call it, it's a collective decision that you make, even if you don't agree with that decision.
Yes, that's true.
But you have to, you're part of it. You understand? Because you see, when a cabinet decision is made, it's a collective decision, even those that are opposed. You see, being in cabinet out there, we debate. We used to disagree and agree. But ultimately, if even a wrong decision has to be implemented, some of us or some of them would not agree with that. But because you are part and parcel of that cabinet, you are party to that cabinet decision,
you are collectively involved. You are regarded to be collectively involved. So even now, that is how it works. Even before we were ministers or before governments were formed, that's how it works. Even in countries like where you are now, they make what they call collective decisions, whether a decision was wrong. Look at when America went to war with Iraq. It's not everyone in the cabinet who actually agreed with it. You understand? It's not everyone. But you see, when it came out, when the president was announcing, President Bush was announcing that they're going to war, it's like the entire cabinet had, all of the cabinet ministers had accepted. You understand? And that is how it works here. So I'll tell you, coming to the issue of overborrowing. Overborrowing, I think it's a source of concern. And these are things that not an ordinary minister actually would actually object to. But mainly, I think this is an issue which is between the Minister of Finance and the man in the driving seat, who is the president. So at any given time, there is no borrowing which can take place without the authority of the president. So whichever borrowing took place or is taking place even today, I think it has to be approved or accepted by the president before cabinet approves it. So the blame, if there is anyone to blame them, it might be the president and the Minister of Finance.
Well said, Mamamba. Well said, and you've given us almost an hour and a half. Your last word, speaking to your brothers and sisters, again, we cannot forget your generosity. We face a lot of problems sometimes, and you have come to the aid of the diaspora, either sending the remains of our fellow citizens. Honorable Mwamba, you've been there, and all of us continue to look to you. And a lot of organizations may have to come up with exchanging of ideas. We will certainly are calling on you. Any last word you want to speak to your brothers and sisters who are here in the diaspora?
Thank you, moderator. My last words are just to probably thank all of you in the diaspora for finding time to have allowed me to feature on this program. Why I say so is because when I say all of you, because I'm sure most of them are participating, most of them are listening, even those who have not had an opportunity probably to talk to me. But what I can say is that I think remain steadfast and know that you have only one Zambia, and Zambia is your country. So we value your contribution. I value your contributions, whether small or big, and I'll always be ready and I'll be available should you need me to probably clarify on one or two issues. Regarding the invitation to the diaspora, as I earlier said, I think I'm more than ready. As soon as you invite me, I'll be ready to come and visit you. And I think you will have great fun that evening, because I'll make sure that all of you, we all team up together. We all have a lovely and wonderful evening. May all of you, may the Almighty God bless all of you in the diaspora and stay well with your families. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mwamba, and God bless you and in whatever you do. Thank you, Mwamba.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you.
Thank you. That program was presented to you and sponsored by Stephen Banda Communications, your most trusted calling card. Go to www.stephenbandacommunications.com. We have about 5 minutes, let me say 8 minutes or so. Please don't go. I want to hear from you. And
please enter the number you wish to call. Press star at any time to listen to advanced options.
Follow up. Mutinka, I've never heard you call in I don't know, this is your first time to call in Zambia Block Talk Radio, but thank you for your question. Okay, this is one question I think has really eaten up our question. What are your ideas on what we can do promoting this, not a positive revolution, so to say, to liberate our nation?
I think what we need is a platform. That's why I asked GBM if he would be willing to create a platform for us. Because we're not in politics, so we don't really know how to get in. But we need to put pressure on the government. It doesn't matter if it's PF, MMD, or UPND, but we just need oppositions that can stand up and, have these politicians accountable. Like, I watch a lot of videos on YouTube. I don't know if you've heard about Musi Maimane. He's from South Africa. But when you need to YouTube that. His name is Musi Maimane. Or just Google Julius Malema, although he's not my favorite. But when they stand on the platform talking to the president of South Africa,
I saw that one.
See, that's what we need. Hmm. We just need to put people in the opposition to really, when they stand on the platform, they know that the people in government know that, these people, they're no nonsense. That's what we need. But we don't have that in Zambia. And a lot of these politicians, they're like in their 50s and their 60s, respectively, but we need more youth. We need people in their 40s and their 30s and their 20s.
Yeah. Old people, no more.
I mean, people in their 60s, they need to retire and enjoy their life. I mean, that's what I think.
Do you think, Mutinta, it's a question of age, or it is just a question of probably the system we have created as a nation is a killer? And that system says, for you, like GBM was saying, to make it in life, you have to depend on government.
Yeah, but see, that's not how I look at things. My family didn't make it in life because they were politicians. My parents were not politicians at all. And I'm not a politician. I'm more of a social worker. My dad retired when he was 60 and is enjoying life, and he wasn't a politician at all. And also, I don't look at GBM is a good leader, but I really don't look at him more as a politician, but just a mentor, because he's made it in life.
Okay.
And you need people. Yeah, I look at him more of a mentor, not a politician. I mean, he needs people.
I agree. Stay with that. Let me go to, I think, 817-1504. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Priscilla.
That is my one and only sister I have. My sister, how are you?
Thank you. I'm doing wonderful. Well, I just wanted to submit my observation. I've been listening in.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting program. I'm just disappointed on one front. I've been listening to Blog Talk Radio for a very long time, and it just seemed that while we were talking to GBM, we dealt with him with kids' gloves because he's got money. He's rich. My disappointment with the program and the way it went was that because of his money, we were almost like stroking his ego. We didn't really asking the person questions that we would have asked any other person. Say, for instance, had it been the candidate without the clout. I'm sorry. Hello?
Okay. Someone else, I think, I'm sorry, let me shut down the mics. Someone else was speaking in the background.
It's like we were singing his praises, stroking his ego. We did not really come. Only maybe one person pressed him to find out exactly why he left PF when he was such a pivotal person in PF. I mean, he was one of the founding members, for crying out loud. And it's like he just left because he was not recognized, and he left up in arms, disgruntled, quite a cool fuita. and we didn't take him to task. You know what I mean? I know he's been doing some stuff in the diaspora and everything. That's number one. Number two, talking about a revolution, that's a different topic for another day. Zambia has experienced a revolution, and we experienced it in 1991 when we voted in MMD. So the idea to say that people are hungry, and when people are hungry, they depend on government and they cannot bring about a revolution, it's not true. When people are pressed, hard pressed in a corner, and they need to come out, they will form and they will come up with a revolution. I don't think Zambia is at that point right now. I don't think so. Thank you.
I am so sorry, ladies and gentlemen, who have just called in now. We have about 1 minute to conclude. So let's come next week. I can break down all these the points. Let's come next week and discuss them. Sadiq, I see you coming through, but we have run out of time. Have a great weekend, everyone. We are here every Saturday from 9 a.m. Eastern Time for 3 hours every Sunday. Let's build a coalition. You heard there are some kind of doubts about dual citizenship. Sadiq is calling us, all of us, to get some kind of force, and they can listen to what we have to. These things are not easy. Have a great weekend, everyone, and come back next week. Maybe we can brainstorm, find some answers. Swilanzi closes our show this morning. Until next week, goodbye.